Welcome to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds, featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I am your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations and to shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. All July long, we're doing something a little different around here. We're calling it our summer replay series, and honestly, we're pretty pumped about it. We've gone back through the archives and handpicked some of our all-time favorite episodes to bring back for the summer. Think of it as the greatest hits, conversations that stuck with us and that we just knew you'd love to hear again. If you're new to the show, welcome. This is such a great way to get acquainted. And if you've been listening for a while, you're going to love this too. Some conversations just hit maybe a little bit different the second time around. So whether you're poolside, road tripping, or already full on back to school prep mode, we hope these episodes are a perfect companion to that. So grab your iced drink of choice, get comfortable, and let's do this. Scaling up MTSS in, from maybe elementary to secondary to pushing it out district-wide, all of that work is really, it's a big task, right? And this is why I wanted to have someone on here to talk about the work because they're in the midst of it. And so I'm excited to welcome Shannon Thornton from Warrensville, Ohio, to share a little bit about the work that she's doing in the district. Welcome, Shannon.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Shannon, I would just love to have you share a little bit about your community and your district and a little bit about your role in the MTSS work there in Warrensville.
Oh, okay. So I work for Warrensville Heights City School District. I am the director of Scholar Intervention and Data. This is my third year with the district. We are considered a mid-sized urban district. So we have roughly 2,000 students. Out of those 2,000 students, 90% or more of our students are African-American, 17% of our students are students with disabilities, and about 60% of our students are economically disadvantaged. We have a great relationship with our community. Our mayor, our board members, and our superintendent are all graduates of the district, and our district just recently built all new facilities. So that shows the community's commitment to education. Our new facilities cost over $150 million. So all of our scholars are in brand new state-of-the-art buildings. One thing our community is also proud of is about 9 years ago when our superintendent took over, we were at risk of being taken over by the state. We were the lowest performing district in the entire state of Ohio, dead last. Within those 9 years, we were able to go from an F to a C on the state report card, the only district in the state of Ohio to not get taken over by the state of Ohio once they had been put on that list. So we're super proud of that. We're also very proud of that. We were removed from all the lists. The last one was our high school graduation rate. And last school year, we got 5 out of 5 stars on our graduation rate. So we are very, very, very excited about the work that we're doing here in Warrensville. And part of my role when I came on is when we went from the F to the C, that was in 2018, 2019, and that following school year, COVID hit. So we weren't really as a district able to continue that growth, or it wasn't really put out into the community or even into the state of that perception of what Warrensville is. So part of my job when I came on was to help pick up the pieces of what COVID had destroyed with the growth of the district and really put in place and help put into place and help restructure some of the things and systems that were already here, because there were already a lot of great things here when I came on board in 21, 22.
Yeah. Well, and I know for so many districts that like they were making progress and then, you know, COVID happened and kind of set things back. And so I'm excited to learn a little bit more about that process. But before we begin, I love asking kind of a fun question. Because here at Branching Minds, we talk a lot about like what role, you know, what job did we think we'd have as a kid? I think that's on our website. And so I want to ask, because someone asked me this week and I was like, this is a great question. So for you, what did play look like for you as a kid?
That's a great question. So I'm an only child. So play looked like when I was a younger child, which is strange. I spent a lot of time with my godfather, who was like 80 years old. So we spent a lot of time gardening. We spent a lot of time watching boring baseball games. And we spent a lot of time around a lot of other old people. So I spent a lot of time listening and sitting around people. He was a superintendent of an apartment building. So I fixed like washers and drains and watched people collect and him collect rent. And then when I was like 10, we moved into a different neighborhood. So I spent a lot of time with kids and a lot of time outside. So riding bikes, skating, water fights, swimming pools, just very riding our bikes is what I remember the most. Like a lot of time playing outside from like 10 up, but under 10, I was with a lot of old people.
I'm sure that is like shaped parts of you as an adult now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. Okay. Well, I thank you so much for sharing about your community and about your role. It sounds so much like the community is really invested into the scholars and the students there. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit about where kind of MTSS has come into play in the progress or in the work that you're doing. Maybe even if just like where you're at in the process of implementing MTSS, I'm just kind of curious about where you've kind of fall in that continuum of implementation.
Oh, that's a tough question. So where we are right now is, and I'll just go back to the beginning when I came here, it was right after COVID. It was 2021-22. So we were in a state of emergency. We already had a majority of our kids that were not performing at grade level. So then after COVID, we had so many gaps. So when I came in, it was like really an emergency situation. And our superintendent with a visionary leader was able to say, with our ESSER funding, let's invest in people. And let's invest in people with our youngest scholars who the pandemic affected their foundational years. Let's start there. So we hired about 10 intervention reading teachers to support the scholars. We had an NMI block already in place, no new instruction for our reading intervention. So that was an hour every day. Before I got here, we had received a large grant for literacy. So a lot of our teachers were already trained in the science of reading. They had went through letters training. We had a local literacy plan. We had a school improvement plan. We had decision-making framework. So a lot of the nuts and bolts were already built. So a lot of my work my first year was to try to build those details in. So where are these 10 people going to be? Who are they going to service? Really looking at the decision-making framework, looking at our screeners, looking at our diagnostics, all of that detailed work. And then moving to secondary too. Before I got here, we had not really looked at secondary. And for secondary, we didn't have the people. So I invested in a lot of different adaptive learning programs for math, for reading. We had some intervention classes. But fast forward to now, where we are is we are not in a state of emergency anymore. I think the dust has really, really settled and we're able to look at the details. So we're working backwards in a way. we didn't really have the time to really think thoughtfully about rollout, about teacher buy-in, about we chose, of course, we chose high quality intervention programs, but not really thinking about the type of students we have, the support that teachers would need who are implementing it. So we're going backwards in those steps, really looking closely at those materials. The state of Ohio has a list of adopted instructional materials we can even use now for intervention. So looking at that list, looking at the data to see which programs were effective, looking at multiple data points, talking to teachers, talking to families. And then another point we're at now is just a really a keen focus on detail. We really have to look at, we're doing all of this, we have all of this stuff going on in Warrensville, but who are the kids that are still not growing? And what do we need to do to reach them? How do we need to change or modify the system? Or what do we need to add so they continue to get the support that they need?
Yeah. Well, and I think that I was going to really ask you the question of like, what would you do differently? And probably there's maybe because of the way you said of like, we were in a state of emergency, like if you didn't have to begin this process, in a state of emergency, there may be things that you would have done differently. Like, was it like you said, teacher buy-in and some of that rollout process? Would that have looked different for you?
Yeah, so definitely educating more and teacher rollout. So I still sit in meetings. I sat in a few meetings a couple times this week, and I overhear people saying, "What is NTSS?" And I just cringe, like, oh no. But then I know it's like 80% of people that do know what MTS is and do know what our MTS, and know we have this like robust system. But there are some people who are not familiar with the acronym. So really just, if I started over from square one, it would really just be educating the staff, educating administrators, educating families, and even students on this is what MTSS is. And this is the difference between it and an intervention class or a test prep class, especially at the secondary level. There was still some confusion around MTSS versus intervention versus it being a class to prepare you for the state test so you graduate. And then also getting like a coalition or a team of people who can champion and speak for it, not in my presence. I definitely feel like now in some instances, I am the expert and the one who holds a lot of the knowledge. So my goal is to make sure, kind of working backwards, if I had to do it again, I would do it the other way. But making sure I have a group of people in each building who have the knowledge of the NTSS, who explain, who can speak to it when I'm not there, when their principal isn't there, when the admin isn't there, and really help onboard people about the systems and all the things we have in place. That would be huge. It's just the education piece and a team of people that can speak to the NTSS besides the administrators.
Yeah. I think that you brought up a really good point. I feel like the part of the work of MTSS implementation is like, it's not about one person. It can't be, right? Because like, if you were just one person, if you leave, then the system kind of dies with you leaving, right? And so I think there is that part of building that coalition, building the team of people that really can be the advocates, that can be the trainers, that can be the experts when, you know, the one leader isn't there. Like, and really what we know about MTSS, it is about collaboration and it is about the team. It's not just about the one teacher in the classroom doing intervention. It's about all of the experts coming to the table. And I also want to address, you talked a little bit about the secondary level. I do think, as a former secondary teacher, MTSS is a very different idea, but like once you explain MTSS, like that it's, you know, tiered interventions, they're like, oh, well, isn't that like such and such? And so they start to put the pieces together that MTSS is really the framework that is the umbrella over all the different kind of initiatives or things that you do, whether that's PBIS or RTI, you know, it kind of just envelops all of the different pieces. And that's sometimes hard, because some people think it's just about an acronym.
<laughs> You know? Yeah, they don't. And the thing is too, especially in our district, I can speak to our district, we have so many kids who are so far below where they should be. And when they get to middle or high school, we have a high school geometry teacher who has kids who cannot multiply, who, you know, they don't have good number sense. And so that's very, very difficult. So it's a difference between like differentiated instruction and intervention. But then what I realized is when you ask secondary teachers to intervene, you have to explicitly teach them how to teach that type of student. And then you have to be very, and this is what we're working on for next year, very intentional about who we assign our lowest students to, especially at the secondary level. Every English teacher at high school, they don't understand the science of reading at that depth. And they shouldn't. Like, they didn't go to school for that. They didn't go to school to teach phonics. Like, they didn't.
I was going to say, as an English teacher, it's like, I knew how to teach a novel or how to, like, teach literature.
Me too.
But I was not trained to be a reading teacher, you know? And so that's where, you know, building those intervention classes, having the specific teacher that has that expert knowledge to help those students is really essential, or helping those teachers build those skills. Because it's real, you know, like I want to say, it's not the teacher's fault necessarily.
No. And that's what we heard at the secondary level. So one of our high school principal, Mrs. Bishop, she came from the elementary school. So she had great relationships with some of our elementary teachers. So we were able to get one of our former kindergarten teachers to come up to the high school. A big shout out to Ms. Peoples. And she was able to teach our high school intervention class. And she had the skill set to do that. And it just made a world of difference. And now what we are doing with her is we're using her. She's a teacher. She implemented the program for years. She understands NTSS. So now she's going to help train other teachers in the English department.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the MTSS handbook. You have one for your district? Did you, well, I'm assuming that you do. Brandy Mines. But like, I want to talk about like sort of the process, and how that has maybe played into sort of your implementation process.
Yes. Great question. So like I said, just going back to 21-22 state of emergency, I came in, there was a whole lot of work by amazing people that had been done before I got here, but that work was scattered. Like you said, if you leave, then what happens to it? So there were people who left, people that changed positions, and the information was all over the place. And then when I came, I helped roll out Branching Minds. It was one of my first initiatives they gave me when I started. And so I just started cranking out handouts and ways we were going to implement it and ways we were going to put in groups and progress monitor and really streamline all these systems. So year one, there was not a handbook. Year two, there was not a handbook. This school year is year three. And I decided that we had to put everything in one place. So that's really the origin of it. It's a collection. And I gave it so you can share, people can see. It wasn't all created at one time. It really is a collection of different handouts, different information from our district leadership team meetings, TBTs, data meetings, and even our MTSS handbook or our Branch in Mind handbook as well. Just different pages from different things. And it's a collection of information.
How has that helped maybe going into this year that you've sort of created that? Has that helped that process? Do you feel like it's maybe sped things up or easier to explain things when you have a reference like that?
Absolutely. I mean, everything's easier when it's in black and white, when people can see it and it's not all being thrown at them at once. So one thing I wanted to make sure is that it was done before the start of the school year. So I made sure that all our building administrators had it and they understood it back in front. But, and I always have a but, so, because I'm very reflective. But as I look through it, there are some things that I would add. There are some very specific things just about decision-making framework, about a lot of questions have come up about how fluid should our groups be, exit and entrance rules, decision rules, like how do kids get into this tier level? How do kids get out of this tier level? Questions about how to interpret our progress monitoring chart and a cadence. Our teachers are asking very specific questions. And as a team, a building admin team, I feel confident that we all say the same things. But again, I would like to start off the school year in black and white, it being printed and us just going over it at a building level or at a grade level or in a department. So everybody starts off on the same page. And then revisiting it. We did not revisit it. I don't know. You know how beginning of the year is. Like everybody has a packet, everybody has a binder, and all teachers are thinking about is I need to look at my class list. I need to hang up stuff. Nobody.
Oh, I get it. They did not look at that again. They did not. Come on.
I always promise myself I'm a district administrator, but I'm a teacher by heart. And I'm sure they took my nice little MTSS, you know, handbook and put it in a stack and started doing things that teachers want to do when school year starts. So I mean, when I have people say,
I was just
what is MTSS
about
in April? I'm like, oh God, what is MTSS?
And you're going, I don't know, it's April.
I don't know what it is.
Oh man, Shannon, I just resonate with that a lot. I was an instructional coach as well. And so I did a lot of like assessment training and different things. And so that idea of the work it takes, the communication work it takes within when you're implementing something this big and the kind of questions, because it sounds a little bit like the questions that they're asking is about deepening the practice, right? It's about really going, it's not just good enough to implement groups, but we're like, how fluid can we adjust, you know, when kids get what they need, like, can we move them out? That to me is a really good sign that your practice is deepening as you go. And I think defining those things and revisiting that handbook is such a great idea, because we know MTSS itself isn't super black and white, because it's all about the individual student and what the student needs. And so there is a little bit about every year your groups of students may be different. You may encounter different challenges that you need to have. Oh, we need to have a protocol for this. And we didn't have one before. And I think that that's just in any kind of work, you have to sort of have a level of fluidity or adaptability, because based on the needs of the students that are in your building. And, so I think that that's a great practice. I love that, because, and I think our listeners will really resonate with that. The idea of, like, when you build that MTSS handbook, one, it provides that clarity for your teachers and for your teams, but it also provides an opportunity to reflect on, what is it something we haven't thought about and what we need to define more, you know, because I think that's where, you know, if you're just a checking the box, like, oh, we have a handbook, we can review it, but you're really wanting to go, oh, how are we deepening the practice? Are we answering the questions that they really have? Have we thought about the questions? Because I think sometimes a teacher brings a question that you maybe are like, oh, I haven't even thought about this, because they're in the work, they're doing it every day. And they encounter, you know, it's like, what other resources or other things can we provide for them?
One thing we did, Larissa, with that too, and I do want to mention this for the listeners who might be further along in the process, is we got to that point where we knew we were doing, like when you said, like, check boxes. We had to check boxes. We're doing this, we're doing that. But to be transparent, we weren't seeing the growth that we should see. Like, if you have all these people, all these resources, this amazing director and her amazing handbook, why do we still have kids who are not proficient readers? So what we did is we decided to have one-on-one meetings with every single teacher who provided reading intervention. We had myself, we had the literacy specialist, we had the building principal, and we had the data coach there. And in those meetings, teachers had to go through each of their kids who were performing below grade level and speak to us about their progress. If their students made adequate progress, we literally were like, nice job. And we moved on to the next kid, because we wanted to focus on to those kids that were not doing well. And it took a lot for teachers to believe that it was not a, I got you. We were not trying to do that. We wanted all these experts at a table, because we wanted to hear the teacher's questions. You've had this child for 6 weeks. They haven't made adequate progress. What else do you need? Is there a behavior issue? Because we have a multi-tier system of support for that. Is it an attendance issue? Because we can send a letter home. We can get the culture coach. We can do that. Or is it an instructional issue? And that was always the last one, because that's the one where you're going to, a teacher might feel just a little bit of, you know, discomfort. Like, that's hard. Like, but we tried to create that environment and that setting where the teacher would say, we've been working on nonsense words now for 3 months, and we're just not seeing progress. And, you know, I was the one who could help the teacher with analyzing the data and interpreting the charts. We had a literacy specialist there who could talk about items in the literacy closet and strategies that could help. And then we had the building principal who could help with getting the right resources for behavior or attendance. And she's a strong instructional leader too. So she also has strategies she could suggest. But it was really ended up being a round table where teachers could ask those questions. And we did start to see a trend of very similar questions. So those are, going back to the handbook, those are questions that I'm definitely going to answers to questions that I will address in the handbook, because we develop the same type of answers. And so that was very powerful this year.
Well, and I love, that is a fantastic story, because I think that the idea that trying to determine is like, we're doing all the right things, but what is it? Why are we not seeing the growth? And I could even sense that, like, maybe some of those interventionists, or, you know, whoever's doing the intervention, they may be less apt to ask for help, because they think it's on them to figure that out. And so they're continuing like, well, I just have to try harder. I just need, you know, not understanding that like, hey, this is all about all of us, not just you. And I think that that's such a different mindset for some teachers because it really has been about them and their performance as an instructor in the classroom. So I appreciate how you, you know, sort of softened it of like, is it attendance? Is it behavior? Things that are outside of their, you know, control.
Absolutely.
What is it? Talk about those first and then talk about the instruction. Okay. Shannon, I might call you back for this podcast because there's so many more things I want to ask you. But because we're short on time, I want to ask you, what has implementing MTSS meant for the scholars in your district?
That's such a strong question. I can't imagine, the way I'm going to answer it is, I can't imagine what the experience would have been for some of our scholars if we would not have had our MTSS system. When people ask about our system, we don't have like off the chart growth. We are actually, we dropped obviously after COVID when we came back the first year, and then we are right back where we were pre-COVID, which is still a huge thing to be proud of, but we want more of our students to be proficient readers. But I could not imagine where our scholars would be if we have not, if we had not implemented what we implemented. And that goes back to our community, that goes back to our superintendent, our principals, our directors, our intervention specialists, our intervention teachers, our parents, and even our kids putting in our hard work. So I'm just super, super proud of all the hard work that we've done. We're excited to see the growth this year. So we're excited. We're actually at a place in our district where we're excited for data. Like people, we want to see our end of the year scores. Like teachers want to see how their kids did. They want to see Acadian's numbers. They want to see iReady because everybody knows how hard we've worked. So I'm just so excited for all our scholars who have shown growth on paper, you know, in the actual data, and then just the scholars who've shown growth internally, right? That internal motivation to be a better reader, to be a better mathematician, and just to be a better person. So I'm confident that they, hopefully they appreciate everything that the community and the school district has done.
Well, yes, yeah, some of those gains aren't shown in test scores. So
absolutely,
we know that. And that's why we do what we do. So, well, thank you so much for your time and just sharing with us, sharing Warrensville with us. I feel like that's the story is really powerful. And I'm excited to share this with our listeners. So thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. Go ahead and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget, if you are enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcasts on iTunes? This helps others find our podcasts and lets us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.